Hi, this is MLB.com Extras Cleveland Indians Edition. This is Phil Rogers with Anthony Castrovince talking about those Cleveland Indians. Really, the first half of this year, struggling to pick up where they left off with their remarkable 2013, Terry Francona's first season there. Another team in the American League Central that has visions of catching the Detroit Tigers, but can't quite get it together. Still within range, though. And it seems like a really fun part of the first half of the season was watching the continued development of Michael Brantley, the rare hitter who, with power, who has about as many walks as he does strikeouts. A poor man's Victor Martinez, maybe, in terms of getting attention. What's caught your eye with the Indians in the first half, Anthony?
Well, yeah, Brantley's development from a power perspective has been huge for them, and Corey Kluber really stepping to the forefront in the rotation. That's provided a big boost, especially with the way Justin Masterson has struggled. And then Lonnie Chisenhall, a guy who barely made the team out of camp. They just didn't know what to do with him at the end of spring training camp, and he kept fighting his way into that lineup and took over the everyday third base job. So those three guys have really been a big key for them just to stay in the race, just to stay in the conversation. So, but obviously they have some other stars that need to step up here in the second half.
Let's bring Jordan Bastion in and see from your spot in that Progressive Field press box night after night and on the road with the Indians during the season. It, kind of a general question, but as you look to the Indians, is there somebody or an area that you could point for the second half that could be a major difference maker and get them pointed back toward the playoffs again?
Well, I think the biggest issue that faced them in the first half could be the biggest reason that they're able to get it together more in the second half, and that's two of their highest paid guys, Justin Masterson, who's supposed to be the innings eater and workhorse and rotation leader, and Nick Swisher, who they brought in, originally to be the cleanup hitter. Now he's hitting in the lower half of the lineup and, kind of rendered to designated hitter duties for the most part because of his struggles this season. So those are two guys that are supposed to be focal points both for the rotation and for the offense, both guys who have had essentially career worst years to date. So I think in the second half, if they can get Swisher to rebound and be more of the run producer that they brought in, and if they can get Masterson to kind of get his consistency and with his mechanics and with his production, that would be a big difference maker in having this team potentially get on the type of run that they had last year.
What do you make of Masterson here this year, Jordan? I mean, there's the contract negotiations in the spring training. He's willing to do a shorter term deal, but obviously at a higher rate. He's got that on his mind, I'm sure. He probably doesn't show it as much as some other guys might. But do you think that's entered his mind much this year? Just what he's pitching for?
I'm sure that's in the back of his mind. As loose as he is and easygoing as he is, as you know as well as I. You can tell that this season has bothered him so far. I mean, some of his post-game comments have been as down as we've seen Masterson, even though he's smiling while he's talking still. As much as that can be on his mind, I also think that doesn't explain a drop of 3 to 4 miles an hour on his fastball. It doesn't explain an ERA jumping from 3.2 to around 5.5. It doesn't explain getting pulled by Terry Francona after 2 or 3 or 4 innings, when you were a guy last season who was an all-star, logging complete games and shutouts. So I think there's been such a dramatic drop-off in his production that you can't explain it based on the contract situation. I think there's something maybe more mechanical going on with him that's inconsistent, and he's mentioned a knee injury that's bothered him off and on since early this season. Maybe that's a bigger issue than they let on in the first half. I think there's more to it than meets the eye. And, I think, he's just going to be a huge key for the second half, because if they can't get him together and they're relying basically on Corey Kluber and, some of the other guys who have, kind of filled in the gaps, this team could be in trouble.
Another guy seems like he has certainly a lot of room for second half improvement based on what we saw from him as an all-star last year, Jason Kipnis. You think how much of his problems have just been physical ones, or do you see kind of the league adjusting to him after he had his breakout 2013 season? And while we're on the subject, how long will it take him to get over the embarrassment of being de-pantsed by Derek Jeter there late in the first half?
He did put a tweet out that said it was a straight steal, so he wasn't buying into the Jeter faked him out narrative. But also, I think the fact that he missed roughly a month with that oblique injury, and that's the kind of injury that even when a player comes back, I think there can still be a little bit of hesitancy to swing as hard as maybe you did before the injury. I think he went through some of that in his rehab, kind of gained that trust back, but still admitted that it was going to take him a little time to just fully trust it. I think that's why you've seen some of the slugging percentage numbers go down. He started to pick it up a little bit as they came in close to the All-Star break. But he is, again, as you mentioned, an important guy. He was an All-Star last year. I think missing a month of that injury really set him back. That, as you mentioned, combined with just the league getting more familiar with him. And it's also important to remember that last year when he did make the All-Star team, I mean, his whole season line, as strong as it was very inflated by his just otherworldly June. I mean, the guy hit over 400 in June, put up these, just incredible historic numbers for a single month, and that really did give his whole season production a boost. Granted, that's why they call it an average, because you average it out over a whole season. But, aside from that one month, he's been a solid to above average player, but they need him to be even more in the second half this year.
Jordan, when you think about, other areas of upside with this team, and you remember last year, Danny Salazar comes up and it's just a huge boost to that rotation, ends up pitching the wild card game in Cleveland. This season, struggles out the gate, an ERA of about 5.5, and gets sent back down to Columbus. I know he's been working on some things down there. What do you expect? You see him maybe joining the rotation in the second half and providing a spark? What are you hearing about his development down there?
Yeah, when I spoke to pitching coach Mickey Callaway recently, he actually said the word soon when talking about Danny Salazar's possible return to the rotation. So I think this is a guy that they're still hoping will impact their team. You look at his AAA numbers, and the strikeout rate is still very, very high, as you would expect when that type of arm goes down to the minor leagues. This is a guy whose stuff obviously plays in the big league level, and I think, again, they talked a lot about his mechanics getting out of whack, and not only that, just those heightened expectations that were thrust on him after his breakout showing in 10 starts last year. I think he kind of opened the season trying to do more than he's capable of doing, and that got him into a lot of trouble. And I know it sounds pretty cliche, but that can happen with young players where they kind of get in their own head and get overwhelmed and kind of have to go down to the farm to sort things out before they come back up. So I would anticipate Danny Salazar making an impact in the rotation in the second half. I think that's what the Indians are hoping.
Jordan, you never know what's going to happen at the trade deadline. Some things that people have forecast, some things that come out of nowhere. But you look at the Indians with Asdrubal Cabrera in the last year of his contract and Francisco Lindor returning to the Futures game, going to be there this year, I think the second year in a row, and obviously, the shortstop in waiting. Is there any chance you think if they were offered something good for Cabrera, could they pull the trigger on that trade and go ahead and make that shortstop transition early?
I think if they pull the trigger on an Asdrubal Cabrera trade, I actually think Mike Aviles would become the shortstop in the immediacy. I think they've been so dedicated to their very steady plan with Lindor, and he's had success at every stop along the way, and he's still at double A as we head here into the second half. I think that would be a big jump. While it's not impossible, we've all seen players jump up from double A to the majors. I think the way that you would see Lindor make that jump is maybe if the Indians fall further out of contention than they'd hope, and they pull the trigger on an Asdrubal Cabrera trade. In the meantime, they've kind of structured not only Cabrera's contract, but the two-year deal for Aviles. They kind of figured that out in a way where it bridges the gap towards that natural development path for Lindor, which points towards next season as being the shortstop for the Indians. So I think if he comes up again, maybe Indians are out of contention. Maybe they want to get a look at the kid. Maybe he provides a spark. More realistically, Avilas would be a good stopgap. Lindor could come up in September, get a taste, show what he can do, and kind of let them make the decision on whether or not they want to go forth with him being the everyday guy beginning with next season.
Yeah, one thing that catches my eye with this club is it's been one of the better teams in baseball at home, and they go on the road, it's a completely different story. 18-28, that's just one of those anomalies of the season, I guess. But you look at their second half schedule and bang, right off the bat, 11-game road trip, Detroit, Minnesota, Kansas City, all division appointments. So, Terry Francona's club has a challenge on its hands, and that could really set the tone for the second half, see how that goes. But I want to thank Jordan Bastian for joining us. This has been Anthony Katrins and Phil Rogers with MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians.